Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got... You're going to be glad you did, because we got another Gary here this hour. We got two Garys this hour. This is Gary Moore. Gary is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back more than 10 years. In fact, last October was his 10th anniversary as an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our financial experts, and Gary was formerly vice president of investments at Payne Webber, and that was in another life. He now has his own company. He's the author of many books, including one of my favorites on the planet, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. And his new book is called Faithful Finances 101. He's our good friend, Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you again, Jim.
It's good to continue. Good to be with you again, as always. Yeah. Gary, talk to us about what's going on right now. What are you seeing out there in the stock market and the economy? I mean, how do we put those two together? How do we put Wall Street and Main Street together? Can we do that?
No. Yes, you can if you understand the concept of paradox. You know, it was, I think, 2005, our mutual friend, Sir John Templeton, wrote a white paper called Financial Chaos. And what he said is, because of all the leverage on Wall Street, I mean, and the subprime markets and so on, he predicted chaos in the financial markets, Jim, okay? And he said because of that in essence we would have to create an awful lot of money to bail all of these guys out.
Yeah.
And therefore said when some of this financial chaos hits the street, that in essence you want to protect your assets by being in the stock market, because in essence, when all of this money is created, John always believed, and didn't think they should, but he always believed that governments will always resort to printing money. And, you know...
Because of the politics involved, right?
Yeah, politicians have to give people more than they're willing to pay for, Jim.
Yeah.
That's just human nature. We all want more than we're willing to pay for.
Well, the politicians have a vested interest in remaining as politicians.
Absolutely.
And they have this little tool that helps them do this that you and I don't have. When we talk to our customers, we don't have the U.S. Mint at our behest.
We're not supposed to have a printing press, Jim.
Right, but and they do.
Yes, and so what they've been doing is last year they, for example, since the history of the Fed, the Fed's 95 years old or something like that. And they created as much money last year as they created in the history of the Fed. That's just money and circulation, and it's having its effect. But a lot of that money, Jim, is going into the stock market, and that's what people cannot understand. There's an old saying on Wall Street is don't fight the Fed, and the second is that bulls are just bears with money. In other words, if you got enough money, Jim, you're going to have to put it to work somewhere. And some of it's going to flow in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
People know that the Fed is keeping interest rates unusually low, so that indicates you don't want to buy bonds, maybe, because if they let, you know, interest rates go back to their normal levels, you're going to get killed in bonds.
Right.
If you, nothing more dangerous on the planet than a 20, 30-year fixed-rate bond right now, because if inflation comes back, you're in deep trouble.
Right.
Losses will be huge.
Right.
But so where's it going to go? It's not going to go into real estate right now, either residential or commercial. So that money's going in the stock market, and that's what's happening with the stock market. Stock market is also a leading indicator, Jim. People forget this. What's in the newspaper today has nothing to do with the stock market. The stock market is looking down the road 6 months or so and saying, here's how things will be 6 months from now. And it's been saying that this thing is going to turn around because of all the money in circulation. And I think there's signs of stability. The credit markets are stabilizing.
But isn't the stock market as a leading indicator right now? At least, let me put this way, prior to today, at least.
Yeah.
Isn't the stock market way out in front of where the economy is going to be? Isn't the economy at least 18 months, maybe 3 years away from any kind of saying where we've recovered?
Yes, I think so.
Isn't it leading now more than maybe in our history, in our lifetime?
It's quite possible because things are pretty serious out there. The gentleman was just talking about hotels. Ironically, I just bought a hotel stock last week.
Yeah.
And this stock, I think...
What'd you buy?
34. I can't tell you that on the radio, Jim.
Okay.
Somebody buy it and get killed.
All right.
But long story short,
I tried, folks. Sorry, go ahead.
It was a hotel company that's just starting to take off, but it's down. It's what we call a fallen angel. It'd been $30, $40 a share, and it got down to a dollar or two. And my son and I took a little flyer on it, okay?
Hold on to that thought, Gary. I'm one of those fallen angels myself, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Moore is our guest. He's our good friend. He and I will be right back. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
Drawn toward the source, spinning at the mercy of an unrelenting force.
So the late, great Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. We got some good stuff there. A complete new look that I think you'll like. We got completely redesigned. A lot of it's redesigned. Looks different. Check it out and just let me know what you think about it. We built it just for you. We're continually trying to improve it so it works a little better for you. And that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101. He's our top investment advisor in the Brain Trust. And Gary, you were telling us a story as you went to the break. We were talking about the difference between Main Street and Wall Street and how do we reconcile those. And I said something about, isn't Wall Street a little bit, as a leading indicator, isn't it a little farther out ahead of itself because of the jobless recovery that we're probably going to have? You know, we got millions of people out of work. A third of them are not even going to have jobs to go back to. We still got a lot of other challenges, you know, other shoes waiting to drop. What do you think?
Well, what's helping Wall Street these days, Jim, is not what we call the top line. Business is not good. It's they're cutting expenses.
These aren't quality. The earnings we're seeing are not quality earnings, are they?
They're not what? They're not growth earnings, that's for sure. You don't cut your way to growth, Jim.
When I was on the farm, I told the story last week, Gary. When I was on the farm, my dad taught me you can't starve a prophet, have you heard?
Like that.
Yeah.
My dad, your listeners will like this. He always said a man who names his pigs is broke and don't know it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
The only
animal my dad would let my mother name was our milk cow.
Is that right? We didn't even do that. Jim, as an example of the stock market, I'm looking here. This little hotel stock I bought last week as a flyer with my son.
The one you won't tell us about.
It was a $23 stock in mid-07, and we bought it at a buck last week. And that's just an example.
You bought it for how much?
For a dollar.
A dollar, wow.
I mean, that's just...
It's got nowhere to go but up then, unless it goes bankrupt. But now hotels are you heard what the guy said last hour, in the last segment, Gary. He said hotels are their sales are off 25% and their prices are off. Their bookings are off 30% and their prices are off 25%.
It's devastating, Jim. The things we're seeing, and you know, luxury hotel. There's a trend right now for them to just give them back to the banks, and that's been the last 2 weeks. There's been several big ones.
Some condo developer in Orange County a week or so ago basically was in the process of giving back $1 billion worth of condos.
Oh, yes. You're going to see more and more of that in the next few...
Well, and you know, I read, Gary, that very soon, over the next very few months, they're going to be $1 trillion of commercial real estate that will be... The mortgages will be reset. They've got to go somewhere, and there's nowhere for them to go.
And that's correct. We need some inflation in this country for the banks. If we don't get asset values climbing back up, unfortunately, we have got stock values climbing.
But inflation comes from demand, doesn't it, Gary?
You know, there's all kinds of debates on that. You know, we call Bernanke Helicopter Ben.
Yeah.
I guess you know that story. He says that, you know, what happens, the question's always been, if the Fed creates money, puts it in the banks, but nobody will come and borrow. It's called pushing on a string. What happens? How do you inflate the economy?
Yeah.
He asked Ben that one time. He said, well, if I have to, I'll print $100 bills, rent a helicopter, fly across the country, and throw them out. And so, in essence, Ben is pretty devoted
yeah.
to avoiding a Great Depression, which
right.
he studied and is a student of. And long story short, they're going to do what they can to bring back some inflation. And it would be very helpful in the commercial and residential real estate markets right now.
But I'm worried about manipulated inflation, contrived inflation. That I don't like that. That doesn't sound right to me, Gary.
Well, it's not right. It's painful. But the one thing that it does is it liquidates debt. My dad bought a farm up in Kentucky for $20,000, and my grandfather told him he'd never pay the debt off on it.
Yeah.
But, of course, inflation took it through the roof, and it liquidated the debt.
But that was a natural progression of things. I mean, Gary, we've inflated things in an unnatural way. Now they're being deflated because of you know, just the natural consequence of people realizing what's really out there, what things are really worth. Don't we need to take this medicine? I mean, we need to take this medicine, don't we?
Well, that's the Austrian School of Economics. Sir John, of which Sir John was a part, you know, Jim. And he would say, yes, let the markets work and write this all off. And you know, it's called root canal economics. Let the unprofitable companies fail. And that is a school of thought, and it's very legitimate, Jim. But, boy, does it have a lot of pain associated with it.
Well, but I'll tell you something, Gary. We've got a whole generation and a half of people who've never been through anything like this before.
Exactly.
And I'm not excited about what's going on. I'm not happy about what's going on. But I don't think it's going to be healthy for our long-term future if this generation and a half that's never been through anything like this gets the idea that we don't really have to pay for our mistakes.
Well, I think that's every generation does that, Jim. I think that's why we're in this mess. You know, there was a generation, Sir John, you know, wouldn't have any debt. And there's an old generation that lived that way.
But you and I our generation went through the 70s in the early 80s.
Well, yeah, but I don't think we weren't in the position of owning homes and all of that and suffering the real downside of the stock market and so on.
Well, I was in the stock market in those days, that's for sure. Stand by here. We'll take a quick break, folks. Right back with Gary Moore. I want to get Gary on the other side of this break. I want to get him to tell us what he thinks the economy's doing, where it's going, what's it going to look like. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Gary Moore is our guest, our good friend, the author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, tell us how we can find you, how we can find your book, and all your books, actually.
Well, I have a website, financialseminary.org, O-R-G. It's a nonprofit. And you can go on to Amazon and find the books.
And also your Omega Financial Plan.
You can go to the website and get our address and get in touch with us that way.
All right, so check that out, folks. And it's a fresh word on capitalism, culture, and Christianity. Gary, you talk a lot about ethical investing and as you say, faithful finances. You invest with a theological angle, and
right.
and you always do a great job of incorporating that angle into our conversation. Do that for us. How do you think that what we've gone through in the last year, couple of years, is going to impact the way people who invest the way you do are going to do business?
Well, it's exploding, Jim. The funny thing is it's the more Wall Street messes up with all of these ethical issues, and they're usually ethical at the bottom. The more the concept of ethical investing or responsible investing tends to grow. And it's growing about three times the pace of Wall Street.
Define what you just said.
Responsible investing is when, very simply, is most of the time we make decisions based on what's the return to me. When we look in the paper and choose a mutual fund, we just say, what's it returning to me? And or we add risk these days, of course, and we reconsider that. There's another dimension where you simply say, what are my investments doing to others?
Mm-hmm.
For example, the oldest part that the churches have done for decades is literally called the sin stocks. There was a time when the Puritan ethic in the United States, Sir John, for example, would not finance alcohol, tobacco, and gambling companies
mm-hmm.
because of his Calvinist beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Vietnam, some Methodists decided they didn't want to prosper from the Vietnam War. Then it grew to environmentalism. It's grown to all sorts of issues in the country. Whatever your beliefs are today, it could be reflected in your money,
Jim. And so the reason I wanted you to point that out is because if that's how you feel, if you agree with that philosophy of investing, today there is a whole genre of investments and advisors to help you not only get a return, hopefully, but also feel that your money is not hurting other people.
And that's correct. And even beyond that, Jim, there's new investments that where you actually help other people. A lot of people don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sir John believed that we had a moral responsibility to help other nations, and that's literally why he became the dean of global investing. He took billions of dollars from the wealthy North Americans and helped build up infrastructure in the developing countries. And it was good for their economies, and it was also good for us because he made more returns than any other
mm-hmm.
manager we know. So it was a win-win situation. And too often on Wall Street today, the big guys in particular have an ethic that as long as I'm making money, you know, it's kind of the devil with the future and with what's going on in the on Wall Street, and it can be very, very hazardous.
And this could be irrespective of any religious views. I mean, there are plenty of people. I know atheists who would like that kind of an approach to investing.
Absolutely, and a lot of my clients, Jim, are atheists, and they just come to me. They say, "I like what you're doing," and we manage their money that way. Doctors are a big one. They're always telling people, for example, not to smoke, and they say we'd like tobacco-free mutual.
Could this blend in? Could this wind up overflowing into the whole marketplace?
Absolutely.
And which in my opinion would include avoiding the quarterly guidance report, because I still believe that companies can't really serve their customers the right way in the long term if they're devoted to telling analysts what's going on every quarter?
I think you're right, Jim. There's basic morality. One of the basic moralities is of Judeo-Christianity, the Puritan world, is that you take care of today. If you do what's good today, the future will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we get preoccupied with the future, and that's one of the problems of fearfully looking down into the future and saying, we're going to have all these issues, because it can prompt unethical behavior.
Well, see, I don't mind planning for in the future. I just don't like being devoted and committed to wrecking everything just to get a quarterly number. That's the part that bugs me. Give us that website one more time, please.
Financialseminary.org.
Learn more, folks, about this kind of investing right there at that website from Gary. Thanks, Gary, for being here. Good job today,
as always. Thank you,
Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.